over this house. I pray calamity over this house. No one will steal my child and get away with it. No one will steal my daughters and get away with it. I pray fire over this house. Fire in this street. May calamity come in this street. Wow. Until my children are brought back to their borders. May this street never sleep. May they be dashed to pieces. I am the mother of Charo. I am the mother of Shaka. Uno, you shall die a painful death. Uno, you shall die
a public school, but you can put a damn prayer room for the Muslims in the public schools and nobody says anything? You want to talk about hate? You want to talk about bias? That would be a sign of it. Meanwhile, the call to prayer five times a day in neighborhoods. Churches are closing. Can't ring the church bells, but you got the call of prayer. This is not integration. This is replacement. One subsidized apartment at a time. That's what's happening here. Then you go to Dearborn, Michigan. 110,000 people, more than half of them are Middle Eastern descent. Vast majority of them Muslim. The largest mosque in North America. The city council dominated by Muslim officials. They just named a street after a terrorist.
Muhammad was kicked out of Mecca around 622 AD, and he goes to Medina, which was a Jewish city, and the Jews let him in as a Muslim immigrant. He goes into the minority neighborhoods, begins to get a following. His following grows. He gets involved in politics, and he insists that the Jews make a treaty with him. Now he's a political leader. And then he allows his followers to rob caravans headed back to Mecca, and he becomes a military leader. And so within 5 years of Muhammad coming into the Jewish city of Medina, there's not a Jew left in the city of Medina. They were chased out, killed, or enslaved. And so it's a three-step process. Come in as an immigrant, go into minority neighborhoods and build a political following and get involved in politics. And then you have random outbreaks of violence that drive out the previous inhabitants of the neighborhood, and they take over neighborhood by neighborhood, city by city, country by country. There's a 1,400-year track record to watch this happening. I put it in a book called What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran, A History of Islam in the United States. So crime going up is their goal. Why? Because if crime goes up in the big city, pro-family people and pro-small business people leave. Well, they're a higher percentage Republican. Who's left in the city? More people on welfare. They're a higher percentage Democrat. And so when crime goes up, the Democrats get a monopoly on city politics. And in election years, whoever wins the big city wins the state. Whoever wins the state gets all the electoral votes. Presidents elected by electoral votes. So this is their goal. They want to go into the cities and have crime go up so that the Republicans leave. If they win that big city, they win the whole state, and then they can take the country.
That we're here for a reason. I don't believe that it's an accident that all Muslims from around the world are here in the United States of America. You Muslims, individuals, I'm talking to each one of you, every one of you, brothers and sisters, to get this, that my responsibility to come here is not just to get a good job, not just to get a profession, not just to make money. Yes, do that. Get a good job, a profession, education, get all of that. But in the back of your mind, it must be to deliver the mission. And we got to spread this message to the American people. That's our job. We, as Muslims, must begin to challenge the status quo. You have to change the laws. She became the first Muslim in New York City, traffic control, wearing full hijab. She set the precedent. Others came after her. Why? Because she challenged the existing law. If you study all the great prophets, they never gave in, but they challenged the status quo. We have to start challenging the status quo. This is your choice. You go there and say, listen, I want a gas station, but I don't want to sell alcohol. Don't make me sell alcohol.
This is applicable only in an Islamic state and not in this country. How do I convince them that it is a universal law?
No. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was total darkness. and the light began to change because the Prophet alayhi salam and his ummah began to implement step by step and step by step until we had everything.
Aankhein khuli ho ya ho band.
I know you guys come out here to preach, and that's no problem at all. The reason we've been called is we've got a report just saying that the volume of it was a bit loud and it was distressing some of the people on the high street. So we've just been asked to come out and remind you guys to be mindful of the volume. So,
I don't want to speak on my own behalf. These two are witnesses, they've been here the whole time. Has the volume been loud?
No.
Get them on it as well. Has it been loud?
No. I think the issue that was raised was there was a couple of words that were mentioned, like suicide and the devil, and they said this was distressing some children that were around. So I think that was the main issue why they called us. And we just wanted to come and make sure everything was all okay. That's why we're here.
Well, I haven't mentioned anything about suicide.
No,
obviously, I mentioned the devil, but like, I haven't mentioned anything. Mm-hmm. As they're saying.
I'm just saying, I've been here the whole time, and that has not been spoken to. It's obviously someone who just is not wanting the gospel to be spoken. Yeah. And I totally understand that. Obviously, when we get called, we have to come out and make sure that nothing like that is happening, and also make sure all members of the public are okay.
I can honestly say, and this young man, he has such a gentle voice and a gentle delivery, way of tipping over. And, you know, he's just been drawn to them. So, you know, I can assure you that everything is...
That's no problem. It was obviously fine as we walked up and see there's no issue. But all we'll do is leave him in reminders with the volume at an appropriate level and just be mindful of the topics. With it being so busy on the high street.
We always make sure the volume is less than the buskers.
Sorry?
We always make sure our volume is less than the buskers.
Yeah. Exactly. That's all I'd ask you to do is just be mindful of it. And that's no problem at all. Is there anything that we can help you with? Are you guys all right?
Right, thank you very much.
Yeah, okay,
this guy was exercising his right in the United States of America to pray before a baseball game. They decided to do target practice. Thankfully, he lived, he was airlifted, and he...
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're
looking for some trouble tonight, take my hand, I'll show you the wild side.
Taking off.
Of 68.3 million, growing at 2.5% annually, significantly higher than the national 0.6%. Over half, 51% as of 2021, are UK-born. Concentration is high in major cities. Birmingham, 30%, Bradford, 25%, and London, 15%. Key growth drivers include a younger population, median age 30 versus national 40, and higher fertility rates, 2.9 children per woman versus the national 1.44, accounting for 10 to 12% of all births. Migration contributes about 60% of growth. Muhammad was the most popular boy's name in England and Wales in 2024, over 6,000 with variants. Projections suggest the Muslim population could reach 13 million, 17%, by 2050, with models estimating a 50% share by century's end if current trends persist.
To the Western leaders, your borders are fading.
Your disease is being sucked out, and the unity of the Islamic Brotherhood is taking form. The sons of Islam have already pledged that this battle is a battle of either victory or martyrdom. We reject your flags, and the call for jihad has started, and it won't be long before it is you that will be feasted upon.
You just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before I work my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Yeah, something like that. You give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. But for the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, theoliveshow.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know. I
like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
See that? No crash. Right. If you'll just try, you'll be hooked, and we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue, bare minimum, theoliveshow.com.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones.